Good afternoon, everyone. I'm not a minister, by the way. It was nice of you to ordain me, Joseph, but I don't think you can. I'm not a minister. But I hope I will be able to minister to you with this message, so the same thing. There was a shovel raised in the air that came down suddenly and hit hard upon an object that was hidden under the ground. It made a thudding metal to metal clang. And the worker cried out, "I think we found it." And everybody ran over by the man with the shovel. And they started using their hands, the shovels, anything they could find to pull away the dirt to expose what was underneath. And finally, they found the corners. They outlined the corners. And they knew that something exciting was happening. Some of the workers were there at that archaeological site, and they were getting so excited about that they actually fled in terror. And as they began to pull back the top from that box, from that opening, and they exposed it, suddenly wafting up from the bottom was this sound. They took a torch, leaned in, looked in, and the archaeologist took his torch and he tossed the torch into the pit, exposing hundreds of snakes. And he said, "Snakes. I hate snakes." Does anybody know who said that in what movie? Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Right? This is a movie that the entire movie was around looking for one archaeological artifact, the Ark of the Covenant. In archaeology today, many of the most famous artifacts have been discovered actually over the course of the past 100 years. A lot of people would argue that many of the most important ones have already been found. So when you look at some of the archaeological findings of the last 100 years, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in 1947. We have the tomb of Tutankhamun in Egypt that was found in 1922. The Mesopotamian city of Ur was excavated between 1922 and 1936. And then more recently, the Terracotta Army of Qin Shi Huang in China was found in the 1970s. Yet there's an archaeological site that has remained relatively untouched to this day and may actually contain the greatest storehouse of archaeological secrets and treasures ever to be unearthed. You know where it is? Anyone want to take a guess? I heard someone say Jerusalem. Right. Where specifically in Jerusalem? The Temple Mount. Right? The Temple Mount has remained relatively intact for over 1,400 years. The Temple Mount is a plot of land. It's only 35 acres in the center of the city of Old Jerusalem, in the center of the state of Israel, in the center and the focal point of the earth. Jerusalem is a holy and sacred city for Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. My purpose today is to examine this most holy plot of land in the most holy city of the world, the Temple Mount. And I want to look at its significance in the Bible. And my purpose in doing so is to get you to look forward and to understand that things are happening and moving forward, even though on the surface of this plot of land may look relatively undisturbed, things are moving forward. The Temple Mount itself is only 0.00000002% of the face of the earth. I had to count it out. It's 7 zeros followed by a 2. It's 21 billionths of the face of the earth, yet it's pivotal to the center and the focus of end time events. So what is the Temple Mount? The Temple Mount is actually an earthen platform. It was built on what most consider to be Mount Moriah to build a level building site. So if you've ever seen around here, we have a lot of building sites that are built on the side of a hill or on the crest of a mountain, and they have to level it off. What you basically have is 35 acres that's relatively, not completely, but relatively level. And it was provided originally as the base for the first temple. Then it was expanded to its present dimensions back in the time of Herod the Great, during the time of Jesus Christ. The Temple Mount itself and the history of the Temple Mount of Mount Moriah go all the way back to the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's referred to in the time of Abraham in the Bible as Mount Moriah, and it's known in Jewish tradition as the place where Abraham offered his son Isaac. Later, David brought the Ark of the Covenant and placed it in the Tabernacle of Moses on Mount Moriah. He planned the construction of the first temple, but he wasn't permitted to build it. His son Solomon built the first temple in a period of 7 years and completed it in 950 BC. The first temple geometrically resembled the tabernacle, but it was about twice the size, and it was built in immense quantities of stone, cedar wood, and it was lined with gold. After Solomon's death, the temple, over a period of years, was repeatedly plundered. And then eventually, on the 9th of Av in 586 BC, the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and the Jews were taken into captivity. The second temple was begun about 50 years later by Zerubbabel and the returning exiles from Babylon. It was completed in 516 BC, but it was modest in comparison to its predecessor. The second temple and the Temple Mount was enlarged then later by Herod the Great, beginning in 20 BC. Herod actually took down the entire Zerubbabel temple and rebuilt a new temple, larger, rebuilt the entire mount. But it's still, and many people would say that's the third temple. It's not. It's referred to as the rebuilt second temple because the sacrificial system continued on during this entire period of time. Herod started that work in 20 BC, and this is the temple to which Jesus Christ often referred to in the Bible. Herod had recruited 10,000 workmen, of which 1,000 of those were Levitical priests, since it was prohibited by anyone but Levitical priests to go into the temple proper itself. Josephus gave a lot of vivid descriptions about the second temple and its surroundings. In 70 AD, on the 9th of Av, the second temple was burned and destroyed by the Roman general Titus. It's interesting to note that both the first and the second temple were destroyed on the exact same day, the 9th of Av. Was it a coincidence? No. In fact, Jesus Christ prophesied of this destruction of the temple. Let's read the account in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Now as he, Jesus, drew near, he saw the city, that was Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." So here's a very clear prophecy from Jesus Christ, and literally, no stone was left upon another as the soldiers of Titus tore down every stone to get at the melted gold of the temple, which was burned during the Battle of Jerusalem. The Temple Mount then went through a series of activities over the next six centuries, and eventually in the seventh century, it fell into the hands of the Muslims. The Dome of the Rock was then built shortly thereafter, and the first Al-Aqsa Mosque on the platform was also built shortly thereafter. So other than a period of time of about 100 years during the Crusades, when it was under Christian control over 1,000 years ago, the Temple Mount has essentially remained in Muslim control ever since. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because it gives away your age, but if you remember, some of you, back in 1967, when the Israelis actually retook the Temple Mount, they actually retook the Temple Mount and then immediately did what? They gave it back. They actually gave it back. So Moshe Dayan relinquished control of the Temple Mount back to the Muslim authorities, known as the Waqf, in an attempt to basically pacify their vanquished foes. But that decision was also made at least partly due to the fact that a lot of Orthodox Jews will not go up to the Temple Mount for fear of accidentally stepping on the site of the Holy of Holies, because the exact location is a matter of dispute. So Muslims consider Jerusalem and the Temple Mount specifically to be the third holiest shrine in Islam after Mecca and Medina. And for Judaism, the Temple Mount is their holiest site on the face of the earth. Yet they're restricted from praying. Jews are not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. If they were even to make a show of prayer, they would be arrested. So their only artifact of that second temple is actually the Western Wall, and it's called the Wailing Wall, where they go to pray on the outside. It's actually outside the Temple Mount itself. Muslims originally, it's interesting, they originally only considered Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is at the south end of the Temple Mount. That was the mosque on the Temple Mount. But over the years, they decided that there was a value and a benefit to also determine and say that the Dome of the Rock also was a mosque. Now, the Dome of the Rock was never built to be a mosque. It does not face, if it is a mosque, it's the only mosque that does not face Mecca, and it's the only mosque where prayers don't take place in it. But by designating it a mosque, it puts it into a sphere of protection for the Muslims. In fact, in recent years, now the Muslim authorities have actually proclaimed the entire Temple Mount itself to be a mosque, and therefore holy only for Muslim believers. And isn't it interesting that they're all fighting over this very small little piece of earth? Yet locked away in the Temple Mount could be perhaps the richest archaeological site that we've ever seen in the entire history of the world. So what archaeological treasures might actually be there? People have speculated about what might be there. Some people believe that first, that the Tabernacle of Moses could be there. It was dismantled when they built the first temple, and when the first temple was completed, they put the Tabernacle of Moses away. Some believe that it was put into an underground storage room under the temple, and that it may still be there to this day. There's a lot of speculation about the Ark of the Covenant, where that may have ended up being stored and hidden, that that could actually be there. The sacrificial altar is one that most would agree, if there is going to be a significant find, it would likely be the sacrificial altar, because Josephus talked about the sacrificial altar being used all the way up through the siege of Jerusalem and up through and including the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And there's no record by the Roman conquerors that they ever carried out the sacrificial altar. In addition, there could be other artifacts, relics related to the priestly duties that took place in the temple, as well as some of the ornaments and the decorations of the temple itself. So we may never know. Or will we? There's a very strong movement going on right now within Jewish, Christian, and even secular groups who want to archaeologically excavate the Temple Mount. And there's an even stronger Jewish movement pushing toward building a third temple. Yes, an actual third temple. But there's also an equally strong and perhaps even greater physical force on the Muslim side who resist any even hint that the Jews may have an interest in doing anything on the Temple Mount that they would consider to be violating their sacred ground, what they refer to as Al-Haram al-Sharif, or the noble sanctuary. In May of 2009, there was a group on Jerusalem Day, the 42nd anniversary, and it's interesting, most of this doesn't make the news. It doesn't make the news that you and I are watching on a daily basis, but there is a group, and they've actually been very active over the past many years. The group actually has now carved out two cornerstones for the building of the future Third Temple, two 13-ton cornerstones. You can see them in the back of this picture, that they actually brought them into the city of Jerusalem and brought them within sight of the Temple Mount. They have threatened to actually bring them to the Temple Mount. They haven't yet done so, but the marchers then ascended. It's a group called the Temple Mount Faithful, or used to be called the Temple Mount Faithful. It's now called the Temple Mount and Land of Israel Faithful Movement. The marchers then ascended to the Temple Mount itself and made an oath to build the third temple in their lifetime. And this is not just one radical out there fringe group. And this is not the first time they've made that call, nor will it be the last. There are other groups, even as I'm speaking, there's a group in Jerusalem that is preparing the plans for building the third temple, including the preparation of the line of priests, the priestly garments. So some of these pictures that I'm showing to you are actually from the Temple Institute. These are actual things they have recreated, the temple, the priestly garments, many of the holy vessels, including the Mizrach, the copper laver, the copper vessel. They've recreated the menorah, the table of showbread, and over 50 different artifacts that they've recreated, including a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. All of these and more are being prepared by the Temple Institute in Jerusalem with the specific view that we want to be ready when the temple has been rebuilt. There's even an attempt being made to genetically reproduce a red heifer, which would be needed for the purification rites for the priests and for the builders. It's all happening right now, yet the eventual attempt to actually build anything on the Temple Mount would not go unchallenged. The third temple has to be placed in the same location as the first and second temples because of the Jewish concept of the zones of holiness on the sacred mountain. And so it's very important that it's placed in the right location. There is not a consistent view as to where that should be. The traditional view is that it would be where the Dome of the Rock is, but there are alternate theories as well. So why is it that so many people want to build a new temple, and what does the biblical record say about any references to a third or yet future temple? Ezekiel certainly covers in Ezekiel 30 through 37 the millennial temple that will be built after Jesus Christ's return. But are there any references to a temple being built before Christ returns? There are several Old Testament references to it, and there are references to the sacrifices being reinstated and being cut off, but there are also three New Testament verses that I'd like to go through. Jesus spoke about the third temple in the Olivet prophecy. If you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and beginning in verse 15. Jesus said, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Now, this was an interesting statement to his audience because many in the audience believed that that prophecy of Daniel had already been fulfilled in Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC. So let's go to those prophecies of Daniel very quickly, to the book of Daniel. Hold your place in Matthew. We'll come back there. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate." And then further on in Daniel 11, verse 31, "And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation." And then in Daniel 12, verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So clearly, Jesus Christ is pointing to us the duality of this prophecy. It was obviously fulfilled to a degree by Antiochus Epiphanes and the cleansing of the temple by the Maccabees. But Jesus Christ was speaking now almost 200 years later. So was he talking then about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD? Well, let's go on. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 16 now, "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." Up to this point, we could say this could be referring to 70 AD and the destruction of the temple. But read verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So Jesus Christ was obviously referring to a time yet to come, a time in our future that hasn't yet taken place. Since only a properly consecrated temple could be defiled, the passage does imply a functioning, dedicated third temple and a priesthood at the time of the end, just prior to when Jesus said he would be returning. The Apostle Paul describes the same event in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Finally, the reference to the third temple in Jerusalem at the close of the age is mentioned by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Remember that second verse. I'll refer back to that in a minute. So from a Jewish, purely Jewish standpoint, they're not looking at these verses in the New Testament. So why do the Jews want to build a temple? An Orthodox Jew prays three times a day. Part of that prayer, the Amidah prayer, they're praying that the temple be rebuilt. For Jews, the penalty for sin is a blood sacrifice. You and I have a blood sacrifice in Jesus Christ. They do not. So without the temple and without the altar, there's no blood sacrifice. Without a blood sacrifice, sins cannot be covered. So without the temple, proper Jewish worship is compromised. And without the temple, many believe that the Messiah cannot come, although many Jews believe that the Messiah will come to build his temple. So the solution for many Jews sounds simple. Rebuild the temple. But there are a lot of things preventing this from happening. First of all, the traditional location for rebuilding the temple is presently occupied by the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount. Back in 1985, some of you may remember that there was a group of Jewish terrorists that was jailed for planning to destroy the Dome of the Rock with high explosives. Why were they wanting to do this? They were doing it in order to make way for the rebuilding of the temple. However, it's important to note that the Temple Mount itself is a large area. It's over 30 acres. And there are alternative theories to the traditional location of the temple. The northern theory, so if you see on this, there's actually an A down at the bottom. The northern theory and the southern theory, so the southern theory is actually up here at the C. The traditional is the B, where the Dome of the Rock is. The northern theory, proposed by Dr. Asher Kaufman, argues for a location about 100 meters north of the Dome of the Rock of the Temple Mount. And some have proposed this and building it without the court of the Gentiles. Remember back in Revelation 11, verse 2? They're actually saying that it says, but leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. They're actually positioning that temple with the court of the Gentiles where the Dome of the Rock would exist. And that's how they would reconcile. The southern theory that's proposed by, and by the way, even when we say there's no building, there are a lot of structures. Have any of you been to the Temple Mount? Have you actually walked around? there are a lot of different structures on the Temple Mount. So there are many different things other than the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And so any building would require destruction of some of these small things that you see here on the Temple Mount, right there in the shadow of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So again, going back, the other theory, which is the southern theory, would actually place the new temple between the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which would actually be up and to the left of that particular slide. And that's proposed by Tuvia Sagiv, who's done X-ray images of that area and believes that that's the actual location. There are other people that would even argue that this is not even Mount Moriah, that Mount Moriah is actually displaced from where the Temple Mount is, just slightly further north, just north of the Antonia Fortress. So there are a variety of different theories, but any of them would obviously be disruptive. Any of them would require something dramatic to take place. You don't just simply go down to the local, local administration, ask for a building permit, and begin building a temple anywhere, even in the vicinity of the Temple Mount. It's interesting as well that some people, so if you look at the Temple Mount, there are a variety of different areas. This is basically the area where they would say the northern location. And this would be the area for the southern location. And some people have actually even put together, this is actually, if you look closely at the image, it's actually superimposing the image of a third temple built on the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock. I've got another image as well. If you notice, again, the Dome of the Rock, and then you notice that there is a temple built right next to it. And they're making the argument that if the Muslims are going to be open to world religions, that they'll allow for this. I don't think so. I don't see the world politics as playing out that way. But that's what they would propose. This one's really interesting. They basically wiped out the Dome of the Rock and put the temple in its place to show you what it would look like to have a third temple actually built on the Temple Mount. So will the temple be rebuilt? It would certainly take a miraculous event, given the underlying politics around that piece of dirt. Many believe that it can only be done by the power of God's hand. There's some people who are basically saying that they're awaiting an earthquake that will level all of the buildings of the Temple Mount. Whatever the circumstances, the building of the temple, third temple, would certainly be one of the most significant events of the 21st century. Note also, though, in contrast to the earthly Jerusalem, the book of Revelation describes the heavenly city of New Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a city that contains no temple at all. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the Lord of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. Will a third temple be built? It's clear that only by the hand of God, the third temple could be built. So watch the events surrounding Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, and the temple itself. They will be at the center of many end-time events yet to come in the future. Things are happening, sometimes in the background, sometimes quietly and slowly. They can burst out on the scene quickly. And there are people who are definitely working toward the building of a third temple. So watch and pray and focus on God's kingdom.